Kaya Biz with Gugulethu Mfuphi on Kaya 959.
Well, this is our weekly segment on a Wednesday evening after 7 o'clock where we discuss all things legally speaking. Now, we're well aware of the fact that when it comes to business or anything to do with commerce, they tend to go hand in hand with making sure that there's some kind of legal aspect to those conversations. And today's one is slightly slanted to make sure that it not only speaks to you as an entrepreneur and business owner, but also to you in your individual capacity to make sure that you comply with some of the latest changes to road traffic offenses and the regulations which will be coming into effect. If you happen to run a logistics company, happen to work within the e-hailing space, or just happen to be an ordinary South African who has a vehicle license, do be mindful of this particular conversation and join in to share some of your views in this conversation this evening. 086-000-959. Well, to help us understand some of the administrative changes that are taking place brought on by the Department of Transport and that will be phased in terms of alterations to the administrative adjudication of road traffic offences regulations, also referred to as ARTO. We joined on the line to help give us some insight into this is a partner at personal injury firm DSC Attorneys, Christy Haslam. Christy, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Indeed, we're quite excited to have you with us because I think if there's one thing all of us can agree that we don't enjoy as commuters and drivers is receiving a traffic fine or some kind of notice, exactly, that requires you to pay a little bit more. But I guess let's start with first things first, Christy, if you can help us understand what new changes are being implemented that we need to be mindful of.
Well, I think the biggest thing people need to understand is that traffic violations are now being taken out of the realm of criminal offences and now are becoming administrative offences.
What's the difference there?
Well, criminal offences are, of course, prosecuted in terms of the CPA, the Criminal Procedure Act, and they're dealt with by the National Prosecuting Authority. Mm-hmm. So what is envisaged under ARTO is that it will become an entirely administrative process. There won't be criminal convictions per se, barring, this is now the most severe offence to still remain within the realms of criminal law. But in terms of speeding fines, license violations and the like, this will become an administrative process with demerit points applied, and everyone is panicked about the demerit points, of course.
I would assume this might be good news. Instead of jail time, demerit points might be better. But what are the concerns that have been raised here?
Well, the ALTA organization and the AA have raised concerns about constitutionality, et cetera, as well as the propensity for fraud and corruption. Mm. That, you know, as soon as you bring administrative processes like this and with such big consequences for motorists, you know, the propensity for bribes and corruption is one of the main concerns that has been raised so far.
Give us more insight into that, because I can imagine we know that there's certain leakages in the system from an administrative point of view. Many of us know the frustrations of government institutions, especially when it comes to the traffic department. So does this, again, I guess the concerns hold weight that they've raised?
Well, I think they do. And I think the way one assesses that is how widespread the opposition to the implementation of ARTO is. And probably it's one of the reasons why its implementation has been delayed yet again, as Minister Fikile Mbalula announced recently, by another year until July of next year. So there is widespread opposition, and there's certainly a constitutional challenge pending, I believe, which is being brought by ARTA. So when you have various bodies and bodies that are impartial, notably such as the AA, who are raising those concerns, one has to give them due recognition.
Makes a lot of sense there. What I'm also intrigued to understand, Kirsty, is the evolution or change in this Amendment Act now actually involves a three-step process. It appears to be quite simple, but I understand there's certain nuances that we need to be mindful of here.
Yes, well, it depends which three steps you're talking about, because there's three steps envisaged in terms of how these demerit points and how the fines will work. There's also three implementation. But I think for listeners, they'll be most interested in, you know, what happens when I'm stopped and I get a fine.
Yes.
So let's say, imagine you are stopped on the side of the road. ARTO provides for on-the-spot fines or notices transmitted to the registered owner of the vehicle. So in the event of a, let's call it the stop on the side of the road, that would start with the issuing of what's called an infringement notice. So once you get an infringement notice, you then have 32 days. Either pay a discounted fine at 50%. You can pay no quibble, 50%. You still get the demerit points. All of these steps, by the way, involve the incursion of demerit points. Mm. So infringement notice, you can pay a discounted fine, 50%, you're done. And you can arrange to pay it in full or in an installment. Alternatively, if you want to challenge it, you can submit a written representation to the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, and you can contest it. For example, if you weren't driving your car at the time, you've received this thing through the mail, you've lent your car to someone, it wasn't you, you can nominate that person who was driving the car during the time. If you don't react to that infringement notice within the 32 days, we go to step number two, where you're issued a somewhat ironic courtesy. So you would get a courtesy letter where it now says you now pay the full fine. So you've lost the option of a discounted fine within 32 days again, plus 200 rand because you're paying the courtesy letter and you're paying an infringement levy of 100 rand. So it's your fine plus 200 rand. Once again, within this process, you get the opportunity to submit a written.
Goodness, Kirsty, I'll tell you what, we'll work on reestablishing your line because the last element that you mentioned, we did hear parts of it regarding the issue of the courtesy letter. And I guess just to re-emphasize some of those parts, what Kirsty mentioned is that once you do not respond to the notification that you receive within 32 days or infringement notice, you get a courtesy letter. Not only do you have to pay the fine in full, but plus 200 rand consisting of a so-called infringement penalty levy that would be incorporated there. And also submit a written representation to the RTIA contesting the fine if that is the route that you opt to go for. Well, it's a very important conversation that we're having, and our guest is on the line, Kirsty Haslam. She's a partner at personal injury firm DSC Attorneys. It sounds like it's quite complex, but certainly not, because if you think of the number of people who use vehicles to drive their businesses, if you happen to work for an e-hailing service, Bolt, Taxify, Uber. We definitely want to hear from some of you as drivers as to what your concerns are if you don't necessarily comply with this and the impact it might have on your business or your side hustle. And if you also happen to be a South African who relies quite heavily on moving around a logistics firm or just moving your goods and services to and fro, think of the small entrepreneur who is a florist and has to make these deliveries on their personal account. What are some of the impacts that you want to raise with our guests this evening? You can dial in on 086-000-959. Kirsty, I'm glad that you've touched on the three steps, and I'm hoping that the connectivity will be quite stable with us for the remainder of our conversation. But very important points that you mentioned here, and for many, they might be pulling their hair out saying 32 days is too little notice. The increase in the costs of an additional 200 rand fee and paying the full fine, again, will just culminate in making it too expensive for South Africans to comply. So I guess when we look at it from an overview point of view, are there themes that we're concerned about that will make this very difficult to implement in South Africa, just given the pressure points that South African commuters might be under?
Well, certainly. And ironically, this will probably impact, you know, most severely those with the least means. You know, those with access to emails and you know, resources at our disposal to challenge things that we don't agree with, etc. It will probably be fairly easy to do so, but those without that access and without those resources will find it the most challenging. Yes,
raises major concerns, specifically for a few entrepreneurs, as you say. If someone runs a e-hailing company or e-hailing service, this just might add to the administrative burden and even eat into their margins as a side hustle or business.
Yes, it certainly will. Look, when it comes to organisations, so for example, we are a law firm and we have drivers to assist with transporting our clients and so forth. And of course, the cars are registered in your name as the owner of the business. And that's a huge concern. What happens? There's only 15 demerit points that you have to, you know, to actually play with. There is provision for what is called proxy owners of vehicles. So that would cover that kind of situation. But of course, all of this is very much up in the air and it's very much unclear, because that's what's going to happen over the next year, presumably, that these kind of regulations are going to be fine-tuned. They'll be published so that people have chance to comment on them and so forth. But the concerns which you are raising certainly are part and parcel of what is being challenged constitutionally by organizations such as AUTA and the Automobile Association.
Mm. And I guess, hypothetically speaking, what does happen when someone has run out of demerit points? Do you earn them back? What's the procedure thereafter?
Well, once you've had three suspensions, so what happens is once you've run out of demerit points, which is 15, as I say, mm-hmm. and the offences, depending on the severity of the offence, and again, that's going to be published, will range from 1 to 6 demerit points. So you could lose 6 points in one single offence. Mm-hmm. But once you have exhausted those 15 points, your licence is suspended. And once you've had three suspensions, you have to actually retake your learner's licence and driving test. Can you imagine that?
Kirsty, no ways. I can't imagine a 55-year-old gentleman or my father who's in his 60s having to go back all the way back there.
Exactly. I mean, none of us, whatever our age, I don't think none of us would like to revisit that. And of course, once you drive or operate your vehicle during a period of suspension, that is then a criminal offence. So that is then no longer administrative. You're back in the realms of it being a criminal offence.
My goodness. Top of mind, does this make sense? Is it what we need, or does this just add further entanglements and complications to the system?
You know, you bring up a valid point. It is entanglements. But is it needed? Certainly. Something is needed. Perhaps not auto. Our problem in this country has always been that we have a ridiculous fatality rate on our roads. We always feature badly, you know, in these stats. According to the World Health Organization, we rank 159th out of 175 countries in terms of the severity of fatality rates on our roads. And that is deeply concerning. Yeah. And many, many authors and people knowledgeable in the field, and I think, for example, of Professor Henny Klopper, who has written extensively on this, has said that the principal problem that we have is enforcement. You know, and I just think of, you know, every day driving to work, for example, and you think for yourself, when last did you stop at a traffic light and not see one, two or more people go through a red light, for example? The problem is enforcement. I'm not sure if auto is going to be the solution. As I say, there's been legitimate concerns raised regarding things like corruption, things like administrative mismanagement and so forth. You know what it's like to deal, unfortunately, with any government department these days, except perhaps with the vaccine rollout. It's been, I had to have my vaccine this week and it went swimmingly. But there's always that capacity for administrative bungling, you move home and you don't get your notification, then you're wrapped up in the next phase of the process. It is going to be challenging for people to negotiate.
Going to be very challenging. And top of mind, I realize I did mention the e-hailing services, but just looking at taxis, taxi owners and taxi drivers, we're well aware of their driving style in South Africa. I think none of us need to be reminded of that. And that, as we know, is a sector and economy that plays a pivotal role in the movement of people within our economy. And when they strike, they really can bring things to a halt. I'm just interested in understanding how it is that taxi owners and taxi drivers might need to comply, since the implementation and accountability of this particular, of previous traffic laws, has been difficult to implement.
Well, certainly, and I expect within the next year for there to be a very vocal uprising amongst the taxi industry. And you talk about the disruption, you know, here in Cape Town, we've had massive taxi strikes the last few weeks, and it really has had people at their knees. And again, ironically, it's the people who are in the lower socioeconomic band that rely on that form of transport to get to their places of work, etc. So I expect there to be huge opposition from the taxi industry to its implementation.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this does unfold. It's already been met with a lot of angst and anxiety and uncertainty. And as you say, many parties who've come forward to raise their concerns before this does get rolled out. If you've just joined our conversation, we are speaking to Kirsty Haslam. She is a partner at personal injury firm DSC Attorneys, giving us some insight into some of the changes that are taking place from the Department of Transport regarding a phased introduction of the auto regulations. A demerit system, of course, a change to how one can actually manage the contestation of a fine, and of course, even the payment of a fine going forward. But major change in terms of moving towards an administrative process versus criminal charges that would be added to your name, given any traffic offences that one would conduct. Kirsty, I do believe that, I guess, as we wrap up, some elements that we need to be mindful of as consumers. We know that there's a deadline. We know that there's still contestation happening. But what do South African consumers need to do as we move forward and understand when and how this is going to be implemented?
Well, you have to pay attention to any notifications issued by the Department of Transport, by the Minister, etc. Because, as I say, this has been delayed and delayed. This Act was passed in 2019. There's been, amendments and changes. And even on the 1st of July of this year, we weren't certain whether it was actually being implemented on that day or not. Sure. It was delayed because there was recognition that they needed to do a huge public awareness campaign as to exactly what was involved, exactly what, you as any citizen, you have a right to know what law it is you have to comply with and to know the consequences of it. So there's going to have to be a huge public awareness campaign, and you're going to have to pay attention. But you know what? First and foremost, let's drive better. That's what I would like to say.
Yeah.
Drive better, obey the laws of the road, and you won't have a problem. You know, I had the privilege of visiting Australia many years ago, where they've had the demerit system in place for a very long time. And I'm telling you, it was remarkable to me, and also being practicing in this field, so I'm alive to these issues. If the speed limit was 60 kilometers an hour, people drove 55. There was not a person that drove over the speed limit.
Sheesh.
You didn't park over a line. If there was a parking bay and there's a line, you did not have your wheel over that line. It was quite something to behold.
I can imagine. Not something that we're used to as South Africans. And I say it as a fast driver myself. Not too loudly, because I'm not looking for any demerits. But
exactly.
Knowing the kind of driving style that many South Africans have. Kirsty, I tell you what, we've certainly given many of our listeners some food for thought. And we do have a caller on the line who's just dialed in with a question. I believe it's Lungelo. Not Lungelo, but I do understand we... okay. Seems as though we're incorrect reading there. But I think you've really given us some food for thought, and we will have listeners in future who will be dialing in to share some of their thoughts, Kirsty. But as you say, drive better, look out for any announcements that come through from the traffic department, and continue to monitor the communication as to when and how this will likely be implemented. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Kirsty.
Only my pleasure. Thank you.
Fantastic. Have a wonderful evening going forward. That's Kirsty Haslam, who is a partner at a personal injury firm, DSC Attorneys, reminding us of some of the changes that are going to be brought about by the Department of Transport, specifically when it comes to traffic offences. Changes in terms of how it's treated, no longer going to be a criminal offence, but an administrative offence, which has raised a lot of red flags, and of course a demerit system, which a lot of South Africans are quite anxious about, given the extremes as to how it unfolds for one to see corrective action.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.